So we'll be turning our Bibles to Psalm 84, and we're going to briefly look at verse 5 and verse 12. But I think I will start reading in verse 4. How blessed are those who dwell in thy house. They are ever praising thee. How blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the highways to heaven, to Zion. Passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The early rain also covers it with blessings, and they go from strength to strength, and every one of them appears before God in Zion. Verse 8, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God, and look upon the face of thine anointed. Verse 12, O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in thee. As we studied that before, we saw that to trust in is to put your hope and your will to, so as to listen to and to obey, to have confidence in, that as you read his word and as you look to him for answers, that you know that he is hearing, that he is trustworthy, and that he will, and his word will accomplish exactly what the Lord says that it will. And so you put your trust in that. You put the trust in him. And so you do that, and you make your decisions, and you let that rule your life because of that trust that you have in him. Okay? So, any thoughts about that? It's shielding. We pray, and I thought of the songs that we sing, two in particular, Be With Me, Lord, I Cannot Live Without You, you know, and then that beautiful song that we sing with all the words there, in every situation, in all the time, and everything, but Be With Me, Lord, in whatever I'm suffering, are living, are doing, are striving in, you know, and even in the face of death itself, you know, Be With Me, Lord. The same thing with the song, we praise him. And do y'all have a favorite song that might be, that you all would like to mention, you know, about this trust? And, you know, Sam led Trust and Obey the other night, and that is an old song. You know, that was one of my grandmother's and my great-grandmother's favorite songs, you know. Of course, they were simple country people. And my great-grandmother didn't know how to read very much, but I tell you what, she knew the words to most of the songs, you know, at church. But she couldn't read them out of the book, but she sang them. And so, but that was one of her favorite songs. And that's how she lived her life, her simple life that she had. She had 12 children, by the way, but had two different brothers. So she buried two husbands and raised 12 children, and trusting in the Lord. And I was privileged enough to know her when I was about 10 or 11 is when she passed away. And so that is a great blessing that we have and that we don't need to lose sight of. Any comments about that reading? Let's look at Psalm 27:14. We've looked at this one. Elizabeth, can you read today? Would you read Psalm 27, verses 10 through 14 for me, please?
For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. Do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord.
Okay, in the beginning of that reading and everything, verse 11 particularly, it's talking about a person who wants to listen and learn and follow God. And he said that he would have despaired unless I had believed. You know, sometimes things in this life can seem to overwhelm us. And so how are we going to not be discouraged to the point of losing faith? How are we going to give in to the fears and to be overcome by those? It's believing that you would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And then it says wait. And this word here means kuwa, means bind together. Collect yourself. Don't be pulled apart by this anxiety. Does that or sound like a verse that we know in the New Testament? Philippians. Let's turn over to Philippians. Pat, would you read Philippians 4, 5 through 7, please?
Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
What kind of comfort do you get from that? Don't be anxious. Don't be overwhelmed. Don't be pulled apart. Don't let the cares and the worries and the stresses and even the sin of the world out there, you know, that's around us and everything, and especially those things that touch us and crowd us at us. But don't be overwhelmed. Don't be anxious by prayer and supplication. Let your requests be known to God. So that is a wonderful blessing that we have as His children, as we've studied before, is this avenue of prayer, this comfort and peace that can come from that. And through His Word, as we can read Philippians, the fourth chapter. And not only that, it says rejoice. You know, sometimes in the very midst of trials, if we count our blessings and rejoice in the Lord, that too can help us to deal with the downside of this life. Over in Psalm 62, it also talks about this waiting and this reason for not being pulled apart. It says, Psalm 62, 5 through 8, my soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is in Him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. O God, my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Isn't that a glorious thing that we can have and be thankful for and praise God for and rejoice in as His children? For those who trust in Him and who look to Him for this refuge. Any comments about this that you would like to give to the class? Okay, then we'll go to James 1. Also talking about how to deal with the trials and things that come up in life. Melissa, would you read James 1, 2 through 12?
My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation. Because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him.
Thank you. Lots of good material in there. I asked you some specific questions. What should his attitude be facing these trials of faith? Joy. With joy. That sounds solder funny, doesn't it? Sounds odd for the master to say that. But remember, over when we were doing the Beatitudes, over in Matthew 5, as we studied that, quickly turn back over there just a second, and then we'll go back to James. In Matthew 5, verse 11, he said, "Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me." Verse 12, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is in heaven, is great. And so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And so Jesus is addressing them that there, you know, not only to his apostles, but those who would go, you know, be followers of him, that they, you will be persecuted. And we, if it happened in the first century, if it happened back in the days of the prophets, it will happen today, you know. And so James wrote this letter to suffering Christians and everything, to build their faith, because their faith was going to be tested. And so he said, you know, have this attitude of joy when your faith is tested. But, you know, that doesn't mean that we can just, well, I'm so glad the Lord's testing me, you know, without it accomplishing something, you know. What does one's being tested bring about if he, what does it bring about if he is faithful? What's it bring about?
Endurance.
Endurance. Growth. Maturity. And that's what we want, isn't it? Wonder if your child never fell down, never touched a hot stove, you know, to be burned or anything, would he, or you know, never tried to do something and you say, don't, that will hurt you, you know, or they fall down and get a boo-boo, and then they get to be an adult. I don't think they're going to have very much fear of anything if they haven't had a few little bumps and bruises along the way. Maybe they get something worse, you know, later on, an illness and everything. How are they going to deal with it? Little bumps and bruises and physical realm helps us to be strong, to help us to overcome, help us to deal with this life as it really is. Bumps and bruises and testing of our faith helps us to grow stronger, to endure what it brings, and makes us be more mature. And so, in faith. And so, any questions about that? Do y'all have other comments that you'd like to say? So, you know, James deals with, okay, you know, I'm going to try to endure here. So, where, if you lack wisdom, if you lack direction in that, where are you going to go?
You ask God.
And personally, I don't think this is talking about prayer. I think it's talking about the Word of God. Where are you going to go for direction on how to face the struggles, the trials? The Word of God. Prayer is good. And pray with the understanding and the confidence that we talked about, that trust, that whatever God's Word says, we're not going to be double-minded about it. I know God's Word says this, but that's too hard. I think I'm going to do this. Or my family says this. Or my best friends, or even some of the people at church say this. What does God's Word say to help us through these trials? How does He want me to face it? What does He want me to do? Prayer, I believe, is part of it. We should ask in faith. But asking in faith, in reading His Word with the confidence and the trust that the answer is there if I would just look and seek, and He promises I will find what I need. Any comments about that? You can disagree. We can talk about it. So, I just thought I'd mention being that double-minded. You know, James talks about that. Let not that man expect he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. The Lord gives him the answer. He goes out and does something else. Have you got a better example or a better way of, you know, describing this double-minded person? Anyone? God's Word takes complete trust and obedience. If it's going to do what it says, it's going to do. And we have to trust in that. What does James say in verse 12 is the driving force behind this enduring faith? What? The crown of life? Anything else? Let's read it. You know what? I put that down and went on. I went back to study, and I found something else. Isn't that the way it is? Sometimes you just sort of read over it one time, or you've studied it, and you know, hope and the crown of life is a great goal. Let's read verse 12. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, that means passed the test, he will receive the crown of life, so forth and so on. What about our attitude towards, I want to be approved of God. I want to pass this test. I want to be successful in this. That, you know, that first steps, you know, babies take crawl and then they take their little first step, and that first step and that next step, but I'm going to get over this test. This crown of life is out here, and God promises me that. But right now, especially if we're in the throes of struggle, Lord, just get me through this test. Help me to overcome this. Help me to endure and get past this. And then you're going to be stronger, and then you go on. You know, always keeping that as Paul did in his mind. But when Paul said, I press on to the goal, the prize was heaven. The goal was being more like Christ. To be in Him. To be like Him. So, it's not just the prize. It's the goal, too. This day, this day, this day, this day. Any thoughts? Okay. Being approved. Let's turn to Psalm 23. Psalm, your lesson? We're going to wind down our study. And I looked around for some different passages. Steve took the passages in Ephesians that I was going to talk about. So, you know, we've heard those. We've studied those before and everything. So I thought, you know, let's go back and just look at a psalm that David wrote a long time ago that has come through the ages. Of course, everybody practically knows it, and it's used at funerals all the time, whether people were Christians or not. And but as a child of his, as one who trusts in him, who has all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, let's now go back and read this with an attitude of some of the things that we have learned. And it says, Amanda, would you read Psalm 23?
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yeah. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
So, when we read that, and we say that to our heart, is the Lord our shepherd? And look at the blessings. I'm not going to walk. If I let him be my shepherd, I'm not going to want. We talked about that, the spiritual blessings. He gives me the good things to eat. He takes care of me. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Through him, through his resurrection, we overcome death. We defeat the devil. And he did. And we can too. By the armor that God gives us, we too can fear no evil. And so, surely, goodness. Look at that. Goodness. For sure, goodness and mercy will follow me, and loving kindness will follow me in the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If he's my shepherd, I'm going to be part of his household. I'm going to be part of where he is. He is where he abides. Any other thoughts about that? Isn't that what we want? Isn't that the blessings we want? Then I put on your lesson, the faithful slave. We're not going to pick apart this reading and everything, but let's just read a little bit there. I just wanted to get a couple of points from there. If I have pulled out points that is not according to context, we can study that. In Luke 12:32-37, Jesus is talking about not being afraid, little flock, those who follow Jesus. And so, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. And we all know that the kingdom is the realm of the rule of Christ. And as we've become Christians, and if we have believed in His name and been baptized in His name, He becomes our King. He's ruler in our hearts. He's ruler over hearts, saved people who believe in Him. Okay? So, we go and we read further, talking about your treasure. Where is your treasure? Is it in the things of the world? Where it doesn't decay? Is it in eternal things? And so, it says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's the warning. Verse 47. After it talks about the slave saying in his heart, my master is not going to come, and that kind of thing. Verse 47, and that slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accord with his will shall receive many lashes. 48, but the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of a flogging will receive but few. And I cannot tell you what that it means exactly. But from everyone who has been given, much shall be required. And that we can take to heart. We have many talents, different, and how we use what we can do and have. The Lord looks at that and will keep us in judgment for that. And so it says that if they've been entrusted with much of Him, they will out. We'll ask all the more. And so forth and so on. But we're talking about treasure and where your heart is and what you're doing with what you know and the talents that you have and the opportunities that you have. And so, as I see, you know, we have to examine self. Where is my heart? What am I spending my time on? What am I thinking about? Where's my treasure? Will Christ find me alert and doing what He's asked me to do to the best of my ability? And so we need to be ready. I know in John 10, let's go over to John 10. In John 10:14-28. Sandra, would you read John 10:14-28?
Now it was in the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, He said to the Jews, "Behold your king."
No, 10. I am the good shepherd. Yeah.
John 10. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own.
27.
My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand.
What a wonderful verse to finish on, serving the Lord, trusting in Him. I'm the good shepherd. We read Psalms 23. But He's the good shepherd of His sheep. And the thing He says is, I know my own, and they know me. There's no second guessing. He makes it available for us to know Him. Our problem is, do we want to know Him? Do we strive to know Him? Do we strive to follow Him? Because He says, they hear My voice. And as I'm writing in one of the lessons for the first and second grade, you've got to put that in a different, you know, wording. You obey what Jesus says. You follow what He says. You do what He says. And because He gives eternal life, He rewards. And no one can take you out of His hand. Only yourself, by not trusting and following after Him. Any thoughts on that? Okay. I gave out a sheet. Don't know if you filled it out. It doesn't matter. We're just going to talk about it right here. Okay. Remember number 3 sheet, list of spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus? Well, we're going to just quickly do a review. Blessing. Being spiritually blessed, salvation from sin, justification before God. That's what we talked about. And we talked about how we got there. We talked about victory over death from His resurrection and victory over the devil by what He sacrificed and by the armor of God. It's talked about in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. We talked about being a child of God and heirs with Christ. Great spiritual blessing. And all the blessings that come out of being His child. We have comfort, we have peace, and we have hope. And we have wisdom by trusting in and listening to God's Word. It encourages. It disciplines us. It makes me more like Christ. It helps me to endure trials. We have prayer. And lastly on my list, we have a family. One another. To get us through. Back to Jeremiah 17:7, where we started. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. Revelation 14:13. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Everything about that? Man, when my mom and dad died and my grandmothers and, you know, people that are close to me and everything, it was good. And I was just on the telephone with my younger sister. And I said, you know what? This was read at Mom's funeral. I says, you die today. Nobody's going to be reading that. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. And then Psalm 103 gets to the other side of the coin. We have all these rich blessings. And we need to spend our time, bless the Lord, O my soul. That's the other side. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Bless His holy name. And that's what I have. Any thoughts, any questions, any other comments for class?
We have to do the same thing to uptake, and that's to do God's will.
That's right. And have that attitude of heart to do it. Remember we talked that poor in spirit thing that we talked about? Keeping that kind of heart, that contrite heart that will listen to God and do what He says no matter what.